farm and the pastor's wife got a brand new sewing machine. And this sewing machine, she had an attachment. She could put monograms on a shirt. And I had a brand new shirt I just bought. And she says, "Hey, let me put monogram your initials on your shirt." And I'd always say, "Well, that's high society, you know. I never gonna afford putting initials on my shirt." So I said, "Well, yeah, it'd be all right." She put my initials on my shirt, and I really thought I was somebody. I have a monogram shirt. Not everybody has a monogram shirt. And I went home and I wore it the first time at my dad's, and he had me preach that night. And I got up, and sure, I was going to wear that monogram shirt. I was going to show it off. And I got up, and I got home, and my mom and my dad both come at different times. They said, "What was that dirt on your shirt?" I said, "What?" They said, "That dirt." I said, "You mean my initials?" They said, "Oh, from where we were, it looked like it was dirt." And I was so proud of it, but it didn't do a thing to nobody else. I tore them out. And I ruined the shirt trying to be somebody. But I'm glad tonight that y'all liking what I'm liking. I think we're plugged into the same circuit tonight. I love it. I love it. That describes what I feel right now perfectly. I'm talking about heaven. I'm still living on earth, but I'm really living on the hallelujah side right now. Praise the Lord. There's a walk in this life and not being in this life. And that's where a saint of God is journeying. When you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and walking in the love of God, there's just something that comes over you and shelters you, and you journey in almost another world inside this world. Hallelujah. And I love it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to turn to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke chapter 12, and read beginning at verse 16, and then I'm going to read one verse from the 7th chapter of Esther. But first, Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 16. Hallelujah. 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 "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And then Esther the 7th chapter in verse 10, reading the ending of a man's life. "So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And then was the king's wrath pacified. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai." Hallelujah. Tonight, I'd like to preach on, there's been a change in plans. There's been a change in plans. If it were possible tonight, and give each of us a space of time, there's not a one of us that we haven't already planned something for tomorrow. Or to be going to school or to work or whatever. We've got plans and preparations. That's part of our life. That's part of a being, a human being. It's just making plans. I read an account or a story of a bishop that lived in France during the reign of Louis the 11th. And this bishop came to Louis the 11th, and he said, "Make an iron cage for all those who do not believe like we believe, and make it small enough where the captive can either sit down or stand up. All those that don't believe like we believe." And the count went on to say that after a while, this bishop offended Louis the 11th, and for 14 years, this bishop was inside the iron cage that he had told Louis the 11th to construct. And for 14 years, this bishop was unable to sit down or unable to stand up because of this man's idea. Now, in his mind, he had it all figured that someone else was going inside the cage. It was all right if it was someone else who was going to journey. But it never entered his mind that he would be the one someday to take up a bone in that cage. There's been a change, an abrupt change in plans. This story of Esther, the story of Mordecai and Haman, is one that can be very touching, can be very cruel, very inhumane at times. Haman was a man. I hope y'all can stand to listen to this voice. I'm not liking it myself. But Haman was a man that enjoyed his political role in the reign of King Xerxes. He was a man that he aspired to reach higher heights in the political world. We read of Haman and we find out that this man was almost second in command. He was right underneath the king. He had been placed over the other princes and over the other lords. And Haman loved his position as a hierarchy in this kingdom. He had come to the place that even the king allowed and entrusted Haman with the king's personal seal. And it was such that the king had made a decree that any time Haman entered into the king's gate and into the courts, everyone was to bow down and worship Haman as he came in. Everyone was to bow and said honor to Haman. And Haman enjoyed. I thought on this man's life there were times that I believe he just purposely rode through the gate just to watch people bow down. He loved to see people as they fall on their knees and their faces and love him and worship him and honor him. But all of this that Haman had, he still had authority in his side by the name of Mordecai. We know this story, and I'm going to hurriedly bring to the point I want tonight. Mordecai would not bow down. Mordecai would not worship Haman. Mordecai would not honor Haman. And this produced wrath in Haman's life. When he discovered that Mordecai was of a Jewish nation, he sought to slay all the Jews, and he sought to get the king's permission to go to war against all the Jews. This is just how steep his hatred came to Mordecai. Nothing was too great in order to avenge himself of this one who would not bow down and worship him. And there's much given in this story of Esther concerning this man, Mordecai and Haman. But Esther, Haman's cousin, the queen, she sought to gain a release of all of her people from the wrath that was coming. And so she made a banquet and invited the king and invited Haman to this banquet. While they were there, it was the queen's desire to bring a petition before the king and make known what Haman was doing. But she said, wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'd like for you and Haman to come, and I'll make another banquet, and you come, and I'll make known my petition then. Haman left the first banquet, and he was filled with delight, and he was filled with pride. And he walked thinking, I've just come from a banquet with the king and queen. I am so high and so mighty that the queen has invited me to the banquet. And the scripture said as he left the banquet and came to the gate, there sat old Mordecai, the thorn in the flesh. And as Haman left with still the delight and the joy, again Mordecai would not bow down. And again Mordecai would not honor Haman. So Haman went home and he called in his family, his neighbors, his relatives, and he began to lay it all out. He said, I have many riches. I have been blessed. I have favor with the king. I have just left the banquet with the king and queen. And the queen has invited me again to come and sit with her and the king at the banquet. And I have many children. But all of this availeth me nothing when I see Mordecai, that he will not honor me and will not bow to me. his wife and his family said, Haman, why don't you build a gallows in your yard? Build a gallows behind the house. And then tomorrow when you go to the banquet before the king, ask the king for permission to hang Mordecai on the gallows. And this thing delighted Haman. And from that moment, he called his servants. He constructed the gallows in his own yard. And it was his intention to hang Mordecai. That morning, he left for the banquet. When he walked out of his house, he looked at the gallows and he looked at it and thought, just a few more hours, Mordecai, and you're going to swing on these gallows that I have prepared. Just a little while, Mordecai, and you're going to feel the pain and the agony, and you're going to feel the sorrow because you have not honored me. And it was completely Haman's intention for Mordecai to hang on the gallows that he had prepared. He went to the banquet. The Esther made known her petition before the king. The Esther said, my people and myself, we've been sold to the adversary. And we have been sold to be slain and killed and slaughtered. And the wicked man Haman, he is the one that has done this thing. Before Haman even had time to get his mind thinking straight, they covered his face. They said, the scripture said they brought it over his face and they covered it. And they carried Haman out and they took him to the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And the scripture I read tonight said that they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Haman, there's been a little change in plan. Haman, you said someone was going to feel pain. You said someone was going to feel the remorse. You said someone was going to beg for the life. You said someone was going to die on the gallows. Haman, it's going to happen. But there's just been a little change in the plan. The itinerary's been changed a little bit. And Haman, instead of Mordecai, you're the one. You're the one that's going to feel the pain. And you're the one that's going to feel the agony. And you're the one that's going to feel the tightening of the rope around your neck. I read that scripture. I just couldn't seem to get this out of my mind. What a drastic change of events. A man who has built these gallows for someone else. And now he himself is going to hang on the gallows. Haman left a banquet with the king and queen and journeyed to the gallows. Haman left his spot for a moment of what he thought was a high place in the throne of the kingdom of his day and of his time and of his land. And he walked and marched to the gallows. All figured out. All planned out. Yesterday, everybody in the kingdom envied Haman. Yesterday, everybody desired to be friends with Haman because of his place of authority and his place of power. But today, there isn't anyone that desires to even say, I knew Haman. How swiftly the friendships when these things take place, how swiftly the friends are gone. The prosperity of the wicked is short, and the triumph of the ungodly is but for a moment. We know that. We know that the wicked and their glory and all of their what they spend and buy and everything that they do, we realize it's short. And all of us, I believe tonight, we're aware that this life and what we do decides where we're going to spend eternity. I don't think I'm talking to people that's ignorant to that fact. We're aware of every ounce of my strength. It must be given to God. But the question comes to my mind, knowing this fact, why is it? Why is it that some still seek out the prosperity of the wicked? Why is it that some still cling and love to go after the world's possessions and go after the world's places of authority? Plan it all out. Figure it all out. Everybody had desires to make it in this life. People have longings to make it in this life. There's a law. There's a law tonight that if I ignore the conditions of health, I'm going to get sick. I spent 3 years in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I saw wind chill factor of 100 below zero. And I saw a month where it warmed up to 24 below zero. Now, nobody had to tell me that if I walked outside without proper clothing on and proper apparel, that I'd go to get sick. I'd end up with pneumonia because I was smart enough to realize that. Ignore it, and I'm going to get sick. There's a law that says, if I stick my hand into the fire, I'm going to invite pain into my body. We know that. This isn't something that we have to stop and fight. When I see the flames, I don't say, I wonder what would happen if I put my hand in there. I know it's going to burn me. It's going to hurt. I know if I drink poison, then it'll eventually kill me. That's the law of nature. That's the law of our life. But I also want to say tonight, there's a law, and it's a law that it's hard to believe, but most of us know it. A law that the transgression of the wicked is going to be dealt with in judgment in eternity. There's a law that reads, if I sin in this life, I'm going to walk into an eternal damnation. There's a law that tells me, if I do not follow God in this life, I'm not going to live with Him in the life hereafter. That's a law. That's a law. That's a law that we're aware of. That's a law that we're accustomed to. That's a law that we know about. That's a law that nobody has to tell us. But yet, there's so many that march on and they go their own way. They do their own thing. They live their own life. And I want to say tonight to every one of us that to some, at the end, there's going to be a change in your plans. To some, at the end, there's going to be a drastic change in the plans that you've made for your life. I've already said it. Haman went from a banquet with the king to the gallows. There are some that are sitting in this service tonight that if tonight should be your last night on this earth, you'd leave the presence of Almighty God and you would be bound to the flames of hell's fire. No worse off than Haman. No different than Haman. Plan, but I'm going to live. But I've got all the time I need. But I've got, I'm going to do it later on. I'm going to get right in a future date. I've got it all figured out. I'll wait for Brother Bear's revival. I'll do it later on. I want you to know tonight that there are a lot of people that have made the same statement as you've made. And tonight, their plans had been changed because their life would not live like they thought it should have been. A change in our plans. I wonder tonight if our plans should be changed. If mine, if what I'm thinking, the way I'm living, if there should be a change, would it bring sorrow? Would it bring harm? Would it do something to hurt me in eternity? I need to gear my life that every part of my thinking is leading me toward a God and toward an eternity. The steps I live in every day of my life, every step I take me just a day closer to eternity. I'm not looking at it in the facts of that it's a day older. I'm not thinking of it that I've grown another year. I'm thinking that I'm a day closer. I'm a year closer. I'm not thinking when age comes upon us and when I see an elderly saint of God, I don't think, look at that old man or that old woman, but I think, look how close to Zion that individual is. That's the way my thoughts must move and I must go. A change. A change. I didn't know this young lady. I was too young to know her. She was my babysitter. So mom and dad tells me. When I was up in Barberton in revival about 2 months ago, my uncle had mentioned this girl. Barbara Johnson was her name. When dad started the church in Barberton, Barbara Johnson was one of the first outsiders, I put it, the one who did not know the truth who began to come to church. And she was a young girl, a senior in high school. She was coming to church, but she never would come to the altar. And mom and dad were real close friends of this young lady. They were doing all they could to win her and see to it that she kept coming to church. Marvin knew what was right. That was the thing. My dad, I've heard him many times mention this young lady, said that she knew what she needed to do. Dad said one night after an extremely powerful move in a service, said that I talked to her. And I said, Barbara, why don't you come and get things right with God? Barbara, why don't you make certain that you're ready for God and receive Him and let Him live in you? Barbara, why don't you come to the altar? And Barbara said, Brother Price, I'm going to. I think it was 2 weeks until I graduate, what she said. Said, now, I'm going to get out of high school. And then, just as soon as graduation, I'm going to come and I'm going to get things right with God. I'm going to live for God. Dad said, I tried to call her right then to do what she needed to do. But Barbara insisted, no, 2 weeks, and then I'll come. And that was her plans. She lived the next few days. She was looking towards graduation. Her and her mother went down to the store and bought a graduation dress. She had the corsage she was going to wear. She was all ready to graduate. And after graduation, she was ready to get things right with God. Her and some other young people were out in the car just a week before graduation. And Barbara was met with an accident. She left this life according to her itinerary, to her timetable, to her plans, 1 week shy of getting right with God. Just 1 week from the time that she acknowledged, now I'm going to serve God. Just 1 week before she said, now I can give it all to God. My plans, I've got to realize this tonight. My plans are nothing. It's the plan of God and the mind of God that's so important. It's what the truth thinks and how does He look at it that really counts and really matters. I cannot be foolish enough to believe on what I'm thinking and to depend on what I'm hoping for. If you're here, most every individual that knows anything about the Holy Ghost and about the Lord, people are going to say, I plan on serving the Lord. I feel like crying every time I hear that. I've heard people that they say, I plan on serving Him. But I have time. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get right with God. There isn't a soul that's here tonight. I don't care how hard-hearted you may be. And there's not a soul in the face of this earth. I don't care how hard their life may have been. Nobody plans on going to hell. Nobody sets a course and says, I'm on a journey to hell. Nobody is going to look towards that end. But the way many are walking, oh, but I've got it all figured out. No, you don't have it all figured out. You've got it all confused. You've got it all confused. Scripture lets us to know today is the day of salvation. If God is merciful enough to talk to your heart tonight, when this service comes to an end, if God is merciful and it's the love and compassion and mercy of God that He speaks to your heart, it isn't a have-to case. God can stop talking to you whenever He desires. If He's spoken to you one time, He's talked to you out of His love and out of His heart. He doesn't have to come again and again and again. But I'm telling you tonight, if the love of God comes and touches your heart and breaks down the barriers one more time, and you hear and feel the voice of God, and you walk away from God saying, no, not tonight. No, not right now. No, I've got it all planned. I'm just not going to do it right now. I've got too much to do. I've got too much right now. Friend, there could be a change in those plans. God's put this on my heart tonight. The thing that I guess hurts the most is to see someone at the graveside at a funeral that they have sat with intentions of serving the Lord. And they've sat in a service and to maybe even preach the message and to watch them as they have shake themselves and try to hold themselves and say, no, no, I'm not going to listen to it. No, I'm not going to serve them now. And to watch as their life has come to an end, and to know that in their mind they were foolish enough to believe in all the plans, the make-believe world, the little dream world. Friend, don't let the chance be taken in your life that a drastic change could completely destroy you. There's some of you that right now, you're building gallows. Gallows of just running away from God. When God talks to you and you ignore God, when God speaks to you and you ignore the voice of God, you're walking on dangerous ground from that time on. When God begins to deal with your heart and you ignore the dealing power of God, your journey on ground that is not a sure foundation. And I want you to know you're building a gallows. You're trying to destroy that is trying to reach out for you. And one of these days, if you're not careful, you're going to be like Haman. You're going to have it all figured out, it all planned out. But those gallows are going to hang you. Those gallows are going to destroy you. Your plans, right now, your plans could be the very worst enemy that you have. Your ideas of serving God could be the worst enemy that you possess. Plan now to serve God. Plan now to touch Him. There's no greater night than tonight to feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. There's no greater hour to be born and let your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rich man, the Lord's own words. Rich man, you said you've got too much to even put in your barns. Tear them down, build new barns. Now you can say, take your ease, just relax. The Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul is going to be required of thee. This night. Don't let it be said of you, you've been foolish. You've heard God. You've felt God. I'm not talking to strangers to the voice of God, I don't believe tonight. Most of you have felt God many times. Most of you have felt the touch of God. He's massaged your heart. You have felt the love. You've heard His cry of love. I will say tonight, there could be a change in your plans. Hallelujah. Let us stand for a moment. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The law says if you don't find God, you don't live with Him in eternity. I wouldn't depend on a deathbed repentance. I wouldn't depend on future years or months or weeks. If I didn't know God, if I never make another penny in my life, the most important part of my life is knowing God. If I die the poorest fellow this world's ever seen, the most important thing is that I die filled with the Holy Ghost. And to some of you tonight, this is more important than anything you have ever come to in your life. When you have come to a moment when you're going to decide, and it's yours, decide to live for God or decide to take your chances and plan for another escapade in the world. Decide to come into the ark of safety or decide to say there's a few more days before the rain falls. There's a few more weeks before the thunder crashes. There's a little while before the door will be shut. In the day and age that we're living, I wouldn't run one day outside the ark of safety any longer than I had to. If you were here tonight with strength enough to cry to God, you need to be man enough, you need to care enough about your own soul to come and cry out to God and ask Him to move you and take you and bring you to the safety and the shelter of His protection. Hallelujah. 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 Every head is weak, every head down, and every eye closed. And the church is praying, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord's here tonight. This service has been for you. This night has been for you. It could have been easy tonight to preach about heaven. It could have been an easy way out tonight to preach a sermon that would cause the saints to rejoice. But God's wanting to talk to you. And God's wanting to deal with you. Tonight, if you don't know Him in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to ask you to come and let your plans be changed right now. You change them. Don't let circumstances change them. I've seen people that they've waited until death in their family has forced them, and then they say, now I'll pray. Don't let circumstances change your plans. You do it tonight. Hallelujah. 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 How about it tonight? How about it tonight? Lost soul. Lost soul, if you've never repented of your sins, repent tonight. You've never been baptized in His name for the remission of sins, be buried in His name tonight. Receive His Spirit tonight. The evidence is speaking in other tongues. This service is for you. This service is for you. Hallelujah. 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 How about it tonight? God's talking to souls. God's talking to souls. Pray, church. Hallelujah. 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 Are your plans so great that you've planned God out of them? Is your plan so determined that you've planned Him out of your life? He's the most valuable thing in your life. Would you come tonight? The church is here praying for you, and we'd love to pray with you tonight. Would you come? Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could say, Barbara Johnson, would you come tonight? Are you going to have 2 weeks, just 2 weeks, until you're going to serve Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Coming home, oh, never, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I am coming, coming home. Church is going to sing it again. Oh, coming, coming home, coming home, oh, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I am coming home. I'm not going to linger. I'm not going to wait much longer. God's talking to some, I feel. And the choice is all yours. It's yours tonight. You're going to make further plans. You're going to plan to draw to Him tonight, or are you going to plan to put Him off again? Put Him off again. I want to ask you, how long can you put Him off? How long do you want to put Him off? Just when is it? Give us a timetable. How long until you think you've put Him off enough? It's your life. It's your soul. It's your eternity. The only reason this church can sit and pray and worship and respond to a message to the lost soul is because we love you. We love you. God's talking to you. One more time we're going to sing it, then we're going to call the church in. I'm going to ask you to come. One more time. Come tonight. Open wide thine arms of love. Oh Lord, I am coming. Coming home. This is it. One more time we're singing it. Coming. Coming home. Coming.
thine arms of love. Oh Lord, I am coming home. Hallelujah.